Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We're continuing our conversation with Senator Jack Martins, and he's still busy up in Albany for another 4 or 5 weeks.
Sure.
So what we do want to touch upon is stuff that's going on that you want to bring up from the budget. I know paid leave is a biggie.
It's a huge issue.
Some of the issues that you think, obviously it's a senior-based program, but that's not the point. You know, people listen to the program, stuff that's important to the people in New York.
I appreciate that. You know, someone came up to me just this week and said, you know, I don't want to hear about things that pertain specifically to me, my group, things that I'm involved with, because everything that happens out there is going to impact us. You know, the state just passed a $154 billion budget. You know, if the state were its own economy, we'd be the 16th largest economy in the world, New York State alone. Mm. And so when you consider all of those dynamics and the ability for the state to invest in different things, it's important that we talk about it. So $154 billion budget, we increase state aid to education, pre-K through 12 education to $25 billion by $1.5 billion this year alone. You know, every dollar that comes down from the state is a dollar less we raise locally. So we're very sensitive to those issues. We passed a $4.2 billion tax cut that's going to be phased in over 5 years. It'll bring the tax rate in New York State to the lowest point it's been since World War II. So important measures that put money back, while at the same time, frankly, in 6 years that I've been in the Senate, we haven't been asked, nor have we voted for, a single tax increase or a single fee increase. All of this is being done while living within the constraints of the economy as it exists. So
Project
important.
Independence get its 2 cents worth in
there. Project Independence will continue to get all the funding that it's gotten up to this point.
And thank you, Jack.
Yeah.
That's
so
a good one.
When you think about things like increasing the minimum wage, okay, controversial issue for so many people, but the reality is living here on Long Island is very expensive, and the minimum wage was $9 an hour. And so it's going to be phased in on Long Island and in New York City to $15 over 6 years, a dollar a year starting in December 31st of this year and going forward. Paid family leave.
I say, just go to that.
Sure.
Every company employing somebody in New York, automatically, if you're paying somebody $9, automatically $10.
$10. That's as of December 31st of this year.
Okay.
As of December 31st of the following year, it'll be $11.
Okay.
Then there's a safety valve that was put into the bill so that if the economy isn't doing so well, if there are impacts on the economy, the governor has the ability to say stop. We're going to stop phasing in the minimum wage increase.
And wait a year or push it back
okay. So that we're not putting undue burden on the economy. And so it gives us the ability to put measures in place to allow for the increase, but at the same time, not do it in a way that will hurt the economy and allowing for someone to be able to, given certain metrics, be able to say, stop, we're going to hold off on phasing this in because perhaps we're heading into another recession. Perhaps there are impacts that we're not aware of, and we don't want to do something that's going to cause an issue to the local economy or the state economy.
That's on a broad level that wouldn't filter down to, let's say, a company says, you know, if we have to pay that, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to go, you know, down.
Well, that's part of that discussion. Frankly, you know, there is a lot of that discussion. I chair labor in the New York State Senate. This was an issue that has been on the forefront. And the backdrop for it was the governor having called the task force to increase the wages for people who work in fast food restaurants, the McDonald's, Burger Kings, or the like. So that set the metric to $15 in 3 years. And so that was the backdrop for a discussion on, well, what should the minimum wage be? In upstate New York, where the economy isn't as robust as it is downstate, they're phasing it in over 5 years to $12.50. On Long Island and in Westchester, it's going to $15 over 6 years. And in New York City, it's going to $15 in 3 years.
Okay. Is there any job that is not a minimum wage job? If I have it, no matter what it is, whether it's Carvel, whether it's Dunkin' Donuts, the hardware store, the drug store, everybody, you know, if there's a 18-year-old working in New York, it'll be $10.
They will be making minimum wage.
Okay.
The only job that is, it's still a minimum wage job, are tip workers.
Waiters.
Waiters, okay. People who work for tips. Okay. They make a lower wage, $7.50 an hour, but with the tips, it's got to reach at least the minimum wage.
You said called waiter wage.
Yeah, tip wages, waiter wages. Okay. They'll make less as a baseline wage, but the difference has to be made up in those wages. And if they're not, the owner of that restaurant or whatever that job is, car wash, whatever it happens to be, has to make up the difference. A worker has to make at least minimum wage.
Okay. That's a whole different story, because in the paper in the last couple of months, there's been some owners of some many very large restaurant establishments that have been keeping the tips, and they've lost court cases. I mean, it's a disgrace. It's like, give me a break.
They've paid millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. It's deceiving the public.
Yeah, and that's the truth. It's,
I'm tipping because I think I'm tipping Sarah, who goes to college.
Right.
Who's being a waitress, but I'm not. I'm tipping whoever owns the place.
Well, that's credit card reason. I mean, that's because of credit. I mean, now people push leave your $20 on the table cash. The girl gets her $20. She's not depending on me taking the credit card, processing and giving it back to her.
Yeah, the issues come in. What do you do when you go to a catering facility and they put a surcharge on your bill? You think it's a tip. It's not a tip. It's going towards overhead. And it begs the question, what was your expectation as the person who went into the catering facility and put that on there? What kind of disclosure should they be providing?
Right.
And I think for the most part, each and every one has been through this process, and I think we're pretty much current at this point.
I actually will ask the waiter or the waitress in some cases, if I put the tip on the card, will you get the tip? And I'd straight out ask them, and they say, yeah, it's no problem or whatever.
Right.
If they're not afraid to answer the question.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? Yeah, I agree with you. We have to make sure that our expectation is to help that person, like you said, whether they're in college or whether they're just trying to make a few extra dollars and they provided great service, you want to make sure that they get it. Paid leave. What a great concept. There are only three other states in the country that provide paid leave. California has been doing it for 10 years, actually more than 10 years. New Jersey and Rhode Island. New York became the fourth state in the country and by far the state that has provided the most comprehensive paid leave anywhere in the country. If you work, you have the ability to take time off from work once the program is fully implemented to care for a loved one. We all have parents, children, siblings, who unfortunately go through a tough period, and to have someone have to make a decision as to whether or not they will take time off from work without a paycheck or have to continue to work and not be there for their loved one is something we shouldn't have to deal with. So it is, I think it was a very important piece that was passed. It'll be phased in also over the next 4 years. And, it gives people flexibility. It gives people dignity.
Right.
And frankly, it's the employee who's going to be contributing each week, out of their paycheck towards a fund. It'll be a statewide fund, and they'll get insurance much the same way, I think, as workers' comp. There'll be providers that'll be providing that coverage. And so when they do need to take time off to care for a loved one, they have to provide proof of what they're doing. And in return for that, they will get paid their whatever their wage up to 50% of the median wage for those weeks that they take off. So it is a type of insurance, but again, it provides flexibility. And in the areas where it's already been implemented, California being the model because it's been out there longest and it's been studied, there aren't people taking time off to go, to the beach. There aren't people taking time off to their legitimate reasons, and we've seen that it's actually worked.
Right.
And so it was the next logical step, and it provides flexibility for workers.
You're at work in a bad situation. You're not functioning anyway. I mean, actually, years ago, my daughter had cancer twice, and she's 100% healthy, but, Peter and I worked together. I didn't have a paid leave, but I was out a lot, and Peter was just taking care of stuff.
I had none of that. My first career, I was a union electrician, and my father had cancer for 4 years. My mother didn't drive, and I had to work to help support them. And my grandmother, talking about being a caregiver, my grandmother lived alone 40 miles away in Brooklyn, and I couldn't take an hour off. If I couldn't afford to. And there were times where I had to run home and drag him to an emergency room to save his life, and if I took off, I didn't get paid. It was a disgrace. It really was.
Yeah. This makes a difference. And frankly, it's probably been long in the coming, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I think it's important that we realize it's there for a reason.
Right.
It provides for just those instances where we shouldn't be in a position to make, you know, those tough choices. There's dignity in work in New York State, and paid family leave allows for that to happen.
You know, another topic that's a little off, but not really, because dignity and tough choices are involved, and we have a major heroin problem on Long Island. And I know from looking on the website that you've had some involvement with the committee. Is there a committee in the Senate that's involved with that? We probably could have a show of its own.
We probably
on
should.
On heroin alone.
And drugs in general.
And drugs in general, yeah. And what kind of assistance can people get to try to get people straightened out?
We live in a society that still stigmatizes drugs, overdoses, and the reality is, whereas once upon a time heroin use and drug addiction and deaths from heroin were things that we thought about as happening in socioeconomically challenged areas and urban centers, it's happening in every community on Long Island. Everyone. If you're listening out there and you're saying, not mine, you're kidding yourself.
Substance abuse has no economic barriers, no cultural barriers. I'm going to say something quickly. The tough thing about heroin there was an article about this in Newsday a couple of years ago, and I paid attention to it because at the time my daughter was playing softball, and there was a softball player who was caught using heroin. Mm-hmm. The problem is there are very few warning signs with the type of heroin they're using these days. It's almost recreational, and this girl was a varsity softball player, straight-A student. And she was home every night, and there was no warning signs at all. Mm. And, you know, unfortunately, these drugs are becoming modified and synthesized not just abuse them, but actually use them and on a daily basis and not suffer the side effects.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know what the warning signs are? You're the same warning signs we have as adolescents. You may get a little mood swing, and you could chalk it up as just being a kid who's going through their teens.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's lack of education. Most people think that if someone's abusing substances, they're falling down drunk, they're passing out, they're not going to school, they're missing things. It's not like that anymore, especially with prescription drugs. I hear from my kids who are in college, yeah. and they're using this, using stimulants, depressants, everything to stay up to study. It's prevalent.
Heroin costs less than a pack of cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah.
Less than a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah,
you can get it anywhere. And
that's like a one dose kind of thing, you mean? Or?
Yeah. I know that it is so cheap that anyone can get it. It is available everywhere. And it's killing people because you take it and it kills you. And the reality is it is so addictive that many kids start with prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. They get some drugs for an injury, perhaps, on the field, football, whatever it happens to be. They start taking it, then they get hooked. They take the heroin from the prescription because, look, the Oxycontins and the Oxy, they are synthesized or synthetic heroin. That's all they are.
It's a form of morphine, and when it goes through the liver, it turns into a form of morphine.
It gives them the high, but the kids are dying. We lost hundreds of people here on Long Island, Nassau and Suffolk County, due to overdoses. And so what happens? People don't want to talk about it. They don't want to have a discussion. And I get it. Parents don't want their kids to be known as that kid who OD'd. They don't. And so there's a stigma associated with it. We have insurance companies that require you to go for outpatient treatment before they'll put you into an inpatient program.
You
need to fail twice in an outpatient program before they put you. Well, you know what? If you're an addict and you realize that you have a problem and you look for help, you have to be able to get that help. We were able to pass a law 2 years ago that requires insurance companies to cover inpatient treatment as part of health insurance in New York State. People need help. We don't have necessary beds in Nassau or Suffolk County to be able to provide for treatment for people who are looking for treatment. So oftentimes we have to send them either upstate or you know, south to another state in order for them to get a bed that puts them into a 30, 60, or 90-day program in order for them to get rehab.
I've always said that the money should be focused on the demand side, not the supply side, because as long as it's demand, there'll always be supply, no matter where it's coming from. And if you focus on getting people off habits and counseling, the supply will stop. It has to be focused on the demand side.
We cannot arrest our way out of this issue.
No.
And so we have to put dealers away, but those kids who are addicts, we have to make sure that we have programs available for them, provide for rehabilitation, and make sure that we put them on a path to a drug-free life.
Well, okay, we have to go into a break. Okay, we're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.